No, I still haven't hang out with anybody. There's people at work. I got him. One of the coworkers might do a barbecue. He just bought a badass grill. He spent like close to $600 on it.
Oh damn!
He bought like all the accessories. Like he bought like a Weber, but he bought like all the accessories and shit for it. And I was like, well, let's go somewhere. He's like, well, we could do it like at a park or something. I thought it was a good idea.
Oh, that'd be fun.
But then he's like, oh, I haven't been vaccinated yet. I was like, well, get vaccinated, stupid. Like, yeah, yeah. What are you waiting for?
Seriously.
And he's like, well, you could carry COVID. And I'm like, oh, God, I don't even want to.
Yeah.
I don't walk him through anything he said right now. So.
Oh, was it one of those like, wait, you can still carry COVID, so what does it matter type of things? Or just
like, because I'm vaxxed, I could still carry it to him who is unvaxxed.
Oh yeah, yeah,
like,
but less likely, like, but that. Yes, I guess
I mean, yeah, I'm like what, 90% plus like immune to it now.
Yeah, like the chances are so slim, so low.
Yeah, I don't know. He could have just, like, not invited me. He's not bad enough at all if he didn't want me to go.
Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week we will review Saint Maud. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words, give our first thoughts, and then go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we're going to talk about Edgar Wright's new movie. He dropped a trailer last night in Soho. So, has anybody been listening to the show? Previous episode, I kind of went on a little bit of a rant on him being overrated. So, of course, he drops what looks like an excellent trailer for a horror movie. And I thought it'd only be appropriate to give our first thoughts here on this horror movie podcast we do.
Well, per what I said before, yeah, it looks good. Looks just as good as the other stuff he's done. Never had a doubt. If you're listening, Edgar Wright, you know, much love. That's me kissing and doing the peace sign.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Edgar Wright is just my enemy now in the film.
Yes. But even though I talked about if Rolando here ever did get back into finally making another film, which you can look up his older films, please do.
Not Baby Driver. Yeah.
Not Baby Driver, yeah. I feel like Rolando would have a lot of similar interests when he's making his films.
Okay, so Last Night in Soho, it looks like Suspiria with a little bit of Frenzy and a little bit of maybe some ghost stuff. That's kind of the vibe I got. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna agree with that right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of a wild teaser.
Yeah,
they tease a lot.
Just the basic setup, yeah.
Like there's a time travel aspect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it is just her experiencing through somebody else's eyes.
Mm, yeah. She quantum leaps. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm trying to figure out who her Ziggy is. Is it Matt Smith or is it Terrence Stamp?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
Because those are both great choices.
I literally watch anything Terrence Stamp is in. I'm just the biggest fan of his. So, of course, even though I feel like I would butt heads with Edgar Wright, I feel like me and him would probably get along very, because he likes the same actors, the same obscure movies, you know, same kind of sensibility. But yeah, no, I don't know. Just Baby Driver. I don't know. It just rubbed me the wrong way.
Is this because you don't like... oh man, he becomes a pedo, and then I don't remember what his name is. What's his name?
I don't know.
Very celebrated American actor. he was in everything for a long time. Anyway, the dude from...
J.K. Simmons?
I don't know. The dude from House of Cards and...
House of Cards. Oh, yeah, Kevin Spacey. Spacey.
I also, at the time, the one big problem I had with it was, like, I didn't like Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like... I think so, but it's like the more you hear about the dude on his personal life and like how he treats other people, I'm like, he's kind of a fucking good guy, isn't he?
Who?
Jamie Foxx.
Oh, Jamie Foxx, yeah.
Yeah, he just keeps trying to do a bunch of cool things. And one of the sadder things about that movie is finding out he was so stoked to take on that role because he knew he'd be doing a movie with Kevin Spacey.
Mm-hmm.
And how he would just sit there and just like, shut up and be silent and just watch everything he did. Like, oh, this guy's like a master of his craft. And then like a month later, it's like, oh, he likes to craft other stuff too.
Yeah.
Like touching kids. I don't know. Bummer. But yeah, I don't know. This movie might be really good or it might be really bad. I can't tell from this.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going in optimistically because there's a lot of interesting. One thing Edgar Wright does really well is kind of has a very style, like a stylized sense to him. And I can see him having a lot of fun in like, it looks like it's in the 60s or whatever. They have like Thunderball playing at a theater when she enters the whatever area of Britain that is. Where it looked like Austin Powers was coming down the street or something. I don't know what it's called.
Which again, right? Like she's in modern day, right?
The younger is
that
actress. What's going
on? I mean, that's what I think. But now that you put it that way, I don't know if there's any real indication that she's jumping to a different time.
I read one description mentioned that she time traveled.
Oh, okay.
It could not be true, right? I mean, it's a teaser, so there could be other things at play, I guess. But for the most part, it looks like she time traveled there, and then I guess I'm assuming she has to solve that woman's murder. What's her name?
Before she gets murdered, Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It looks like that's kind of the direction it's going.
I probably said that wrong, honestly.
We're so bad with names.
It's fucking horrible with names.
It doesn't help that we don't bother to learn them either. So we're just off the cuff.
It's like name names you know off the top of your head, and it's just going to be like dudes. It's like Oscar Isaac, Diego Luna, Gael Bernal.
Yeah.
That's all I got. Ethan Hawke. then obviously I'd like Nev Campbell, Fairuza Balk, and then people would start to notice what my type is.
Yeah. Witches. You like witches.
Witch. I love witches. Yeah, exactly.
You're the witch guy.
The group. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I'm pretty excited about this. I think it looks cool. I mean, I haven't been excited about Edgar Wright movie in a bit, so hopefully it's... you know, ends up turning out well. I think there's other directors he kind of has that label of like a movie nerd. And the other one I could think of was Quentin Tarantino. And I haven't honestly been excited about a Quentin Tarantino movie in a long time. And I honestly don't understand the reception to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I mean, people talk about it like it's the greatest movie and I could care two shits about it.
Yeah. You know, I did enjoy it. I liked it, but I'm not going to say it's anywhere near like the best thing he's done.
Yeah, same. I thought
it's just more budgeted. You know, like, it's a bigger budget, I guess.
And I kind of felt like this is his old man movie. You know what I mean? Quentin Tarantino's always been like at the cutting edge of like pop culture and like putting things in our vernacular of things that he did with Pulp Fiction from the very start. From Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, they've all been kind of things we've said. And I feel like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was kind of like his old man movie because it's a lot of just old men crying about the good old days and hating this hippie culture that was coming in and changing things. Did you get that sense?
Kind of? I did, yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah, like how, yeah. and how he kind of like changes history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On a whim to make things more interesting, which is like fine. But if you're going to do that in every movie from here on out, you know,
yeah,
I'm waiting for some random political party to pop up and be like, no, Quentin Tarantino's trying to tell you the truth.
Like, yeah. Where was Quentin Tarantino January 6th? Just kidding.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I'm excited for this film.
Cool.
Whenever it comes out.
I'm excited too. I can't wait to see what it is. You know what I mean? Like we'll get a first trailer. We'll get more of a story, stuff like that. And hopefully, you know, ends up being pretty good.
Well, hold on. Our broadcast is being interrupted. Sorry, everyone.
No, what is it? I'm not doing
anything. Somebody's trying to step very quietly behind me. Everyone can hear you in America and Australia.
Mostly Australia.
Mostly Australia.
Yeah.
And parts of Mexico, perhaps. Okay, yeah. All right, now we get to talk about this film, right?
Yes, but first...
Oh?
Preamble, we're going to talk about another little ad, a trailer here.
Oh, okay.
From the Goose family of songs that we...
Oh my
that
god!
That we love
yeah.
to play.
This endless bucket of
this. This is a little like specific. It's not really music. It's just more of a really nice little ad. But very, very specific. It's something that I would probably need that you won't need. So we should definitely roll the music.
Is this growing taller pills?
Yeah,
is that what it is?
Boner pills. Yeah.
No. Oh, it's, okay.
It's a.
I don't know how you know that about me, but secret's out. I'm not ashamed.
Yeah. It's just, you take the boner pill, but you rectally put them in. So it's kind of odd.
Well, I understand why you get a boner now then.
Yeah. No, this is about wigs. Wigs. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's take a look.
Wowza. No heckin' way.
That can't be real.
It's so big.
It's so thick.
Hooey!
How could anything be so real and so beautiful?
How? It's not. It's a goose wig. Remember, if it's too perfect to be real, it's probably a goose wig.
Not to be confused with the novelty animal item.
Honk, honk.
So there you go. That is gooseneck
wigs.
Something.
Okay, goose wigs. Okay.
I'm pretty quacking convinced here. We could, I might be able to, I might need some wig situation myself. Are you?
I mean all those people, and I mean, I couldn't even see what was going on, but all those people seem very, I straight up thought they were talking about some sort of naughty bits, but if the wig is that good, bits. Yeah,
but yeah,
the wig's that good. I'm curious. I mean, I'm sure they don't even make these anymore. I've never heard of goose wigs.
I know. Yeah. It's a thing that I might need. So.
Okay. All right.
What do you think? Do you think I need a wig, John?
Open up the old eBay. let's get you a He-Man mullet.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. No, who do we always say that? I was like, dude, Rolando secretly Kane the Wrestler, isn't he?
Yeah.
But then Kane went maskless and I was like, he is white. I knew it.
I knew it. Now he's the mayor of Tennessee or some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. He's making more See No Evil movies, right?
Yes. Which we will review next week.
See No Evil 2.
It just has this complicated mythology. So I don't know. He doesn't see or hear evil. It's amazing. No. All right. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
drum roll, please. Yes, for Saint Maud Epics,
Saint
right?
Maud. Saint Maud.
Saint Maud Epics.
Saint Maud Epics. Four words.
Because if there was a if there was one thing, the one major thing I disliked about this movie is Epics, take your fucking logo watermark off the movie.
Yeah.
It was right there in the corner of the whole movie.
Yeah.
And it's not even like fading out. It's like big and bright and white. And I'm like, ugh, okay. Anyway. Coming in at number four. Oh, no, I just wrote a fifth one while we were talking. And this only makes sense if you watch the movie, but Jodie Foster and Meryl Streep, that's the whole thing. Okay, coming in at number four.
Jodie Foster and Meryl Streep.
Is because both our lead actresses look kind of like Jodie Foster and Meryl Streep making a movie
that
together.
That is absolutely a great observation.
Coming in at number four, I have Slowly Losing Mine for Jesus.
Slowly Losing Mine.
Coming Wait. In at number three, I have Documentary, Trauma, and Eye Color.
Yeah.
And that's a bit of... Coming in at number two, I have Devoted Nurse Cares for Immigrant.
Oh. Was she?
And at... Just,
oh, she's American. You
yeah,
don't
well, I mean, she was American, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And coming in at number one, I have Harley Quinn by Todd Phillips.
There it is. That's the winner. There it is. So, John, let me ask you the real question here. Would you date Maud?
No.
No. No, no, I'm just saying, like, theoretically, like, just forget your current situation in life. I'm not trying to be disrespectful of it. Just, would you?
The only reason I was so hesitant is, like, it should be, like, a resounding no, but I'm saying no because I am not religious. So, that's the main reason. I know people would be like, are you crazy? She's insane. Well, no, my number one reason is I'm not religious, so.
Yeah. Okay, thought that I'd get that question out of the way. Okay, what's your first thoughts on St. Maud?
In my opinion, talk about a real long movie where nothing happens.
yeah, okay.
I kept losing focus because I was just, I was a little bit bored.
Okay.
Movie I thought was like beautifully shot. The design was gorgeous, I thought. Like, there were so many, again, going back to cinematography, there's so many shots I was like, dude, that looks so fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
The acting I thought was pretty fucking good, but I felt like a whole lot of nothing was happening throughout this film. And then there's supposed to be like suspenseful moments of like, what's going on? But I was like, I don't know. She's crazy, right? that's it, right? She's crazy.
Is she crazy for Jesus or is she crazy?
She's crazy for Jesus. Yeah. Well, she's religious, but she's obviously a fanatic, right?
Yeah.
And she's probably got like some sort of ailment going on aside from mental instability, which you realize later.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't really care for this film.
Okay.
It was just too much of nothing going on.
Yep. I would say on the horror side, there's very little.
I wouldn't say this is a horror movie at all.
Yeah. But I really liked the dark character drama. You know what I mean? To me, this is about the introduction of like Rose Glass, the director. I think this is her first movie and this is a fully formed, thoughtful movie with a very specific things on her mind. And honestly, it's kind of, when I was thinking about it, I was thinking, the movie kind of reminds me of Taxi Driver or like an angry Martin Scorsese films, all the early stuff. Like he's kind of leaned into his old man, what does it all mean phase now. But his early stuff was angry. It was, very like internal, kind of capturing the internal person, like a Taxi Driver or like Another film that came up that I really, really love is First Reformed with Ethan Hawke. Just the religious natures of it and how it's portrayed and stuff. Like, there's a lot of back and forth. And I think that they did a really interesting idea of setting the entire movie inside a crazy young woman's head. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's mostly narrated, right? Mm-hmm. A good chunk of it.
Which is like Taxi Driver or like any Paul Schroeder movie that he wrote for Martin Scorsese.
Okay. Yeah. No, I 100% agree. Again, I think it's just, again, if this is like a very early effort, I can understand that then.
Mm-hmm.
But without knowing any of that, yeah, it was just very, at a certain point, I was like, it's okay that nothing's going on. But even movies like, let's say, like Hereditary, when nothing was going on, something weird was still happening. Mm-hmm. That kept you wanting to guess. But even halfway through the movie, I was like, okay, she's crazy. I get it.
Yeah.
And then that was kind of it. That was kind of the whole movie, though. Even when you get like the scary bits, the last like 5 seconds or like, you know, whatever. I was like, okay, she's just crazy.
She's crazy, yeah. And I think a thought I had after the movie, I was discussing it with my fiance and I was telling her that I think that if I was maybe 15 years younger, I think this would probably be the best movie I'd ever seen. Now
I see what you're saying, yeah.
I'm old. I'm old and I complain about DC characters mostly in my spare time. So, my sensibilities and tastes have changed. I think, you know what I mean? So this is kind of coming from a younger, fresh perspective. So I don't know if this movie would have hit me the same way had I been maybe 15 years younger. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, I get that. I mean, especially now, I think something that maybe I'm probably in the wrong for thinking this, but I also didn't need to watch an entire movie about a crazy woman. Does that make sense? Like it's like the men in the movie are all bad people too, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's mostly just about a crazy woman. She's like, oh, okay, well, I don't know if, okay. I'm not sure what else to say about that.
I was really stunned by the performance of the actress. Like I thought the character who played Maude, she was incredible in it. Like she's pretty much in every scene, and every scene she's doing something odd or peculiar or just behaving very upsettingly. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I thought one of the scenes that was probably the most like, not alarming, but just kind of like sad, I guess, is the easy way to put it, is when she's trying to be normal and she's trying to be social
later in the movie.
And she's just completely failing at it and doesn't know how to interact or talk to people. So this is definitely like a lonely, probably mentally ill person who probably is just like can't fit into society. So she's definitely like an outcast. And then
she like latches on to religion, specifically Christianity, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's all due to like a trauma she experienced, which I guess we shouldn't talk about because that's a spoiler. But, you know, mm-hmm. like that moment you're talking about, I think, is when you find out what happened, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think what I probably wanted also from this film was more of an explanation for all that. Like why she chose Christianity, why that was the one thing she latched onto right after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's we're immediately dumped in there. Like she's already full Catholic. She's just converted Catholic, right? And then we start kind of going back and she revealing more about who she was before that. So, but yeah, no, I mean, I like those aspects of it, but yeah, like I'm kind of in the same boat too, where there wasn't a lot going on. I was a little lost with some of the things that were going on. You know, I mean, it's pretty straightforward, right? Like she's a nurse, she's a caretaker, she's taking on a new patient. And I thought that was what the movie was going to be about, like a struggle between the two women. Because the woman plays, she's complete contrast of who she is, right? She's like an artistic type and she mentioned as much.
A celebrated dancer.
So I thought that was going to be the movie, like her beliefs with the about and the patient's beliefs, right? Who clearly is a little more liberal, I guess is the easiest way to put that. And so I thought that was going to be what the movie about, but it's not even really about that. That's just something that happens. But it's really, once we get past a certain point in the movie, like it's just mainly just about her and her dealing with basically her like religious or mental illness or a little bit right. of both, you know?
But would you say most of the beginning of the movie is her kind of dealing with her trauma?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what I'm saying. Like, then the latter half of the movie is just like, okay, she's just at this point a religious like fanatic. And now we're watching a movie, unfortunately, just about a woman that's crazy. And it's just like, again, I'm just, yeah, not that I'm saying I wanted it to be a man. I'm just like, ugh, okay.
I think that was one of the points I was going to make. Like, I feel like we've seen a lot of movies about men on the outside of society, a lot of outcasts.
Oh, right.
You know, and this
Joker, right?
Joker. Again, I keep saying Taxi Driver, but like, that's the easiest reference. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or like even Carrie. Carrie's another movie.
True, but Carrie's like, I mean, I'm talking about the Sissy Spacek one, by the way. Carrie was like a great film. And that's like a good, in my head, a good depiction of somebody dealing with trauma and not understanding and then like latching onto religion, because you always feel for her. And then when she's supposed to be the bad guy at the end, which is like, she shouldn't have done that, you still understand why. And this one, not so much. I don't understand why. Like, it's just because she's crazy, you know. Like, that's what I'm trying to get at.
And I think the director purposely didn't make like judgment on who she was. Like, never made a judgment of whether the religious was affecting her or whether she was already kind of crazy. It's just sort of there. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't, because there's a lot of scenes where she's walking in the beach and she's like. And she has all that. She's walking on like, it almost looks like she's walking on water, because she's walking after the wave crashes in, and then like there's a lot of leftover water. It looks like she's like walking over it, and it's reflecting, and it kind of looks like she's walking over water. So very briefly, they do a quick scene of that, and you kind of see that maybe that was just part of her mental, how she perceived.
Instability, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like that's like her projecting. You know what I mean? Like that's how she would see it or she would interpret it. So, but yeah, it is very kind of like loose in other terms. Yeah. So,
and like I do appreciate some of the imagery. I know this is probably going to be going into spoilers a bit, but the very beginning of the movie, when you get a quick glimpse of her, like just with blood all over her hands and like staring up, and then there's that one specific type of cockroach, which I couldn't even tell you if that's native to England, but yeah. There's like this huge roach that's on the ceiling. And then you get a quick glimpse of like the gurney, because she's obviously in scrubs. There is a woman whose head is like slouched backwards, like her chin is up in the air and she's laying backwards, and there's blood everywhere. Is the same image you see when she's flipping through old posters of her new patient. And then I think that's supposed to be the moment, right? The moment she's like, oh, I need to save this woman. It's a sign. It's a sign from God. And every time she like has memories of not Meryl Streep. I'm so sorry, Jennifer L. You've been like doing shit for just as long.
Yeah.
Jennifer L. Like her in her head, she's like imagining her pretty much in the same position. She saw, I guess, is her mom. Is that what I'm gathering? Her mom is the first patient?
Maybe. I didn't really read into it.
Maybe I misunderstood that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, there's like many moments that I just kind of lost because I kind of lost focus.
Did you think that some of those parts were like some of the ideas of like a cockroach and then like things begin to speak to her? I kind of got like a Son of Sam vibe. Did you get that? Like,
yeah, I agree. Yes. Cause I think pretty much the same idea. I think the cockroach was supposed to be God, right? Like in her head.
Yeah. Cause she saw it again. Well, I guess that's spoilers, right? Is that spoilers?
I don't know. I don't know.
Let's go to spoilers. Yeah, let's go to spoilers. All right, cool.
Wait, no. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast.
because we're about to go into
spoilers. Because I don't know if it's kind of hard not to spoil this movie, but also we could be talking gibberish if nobody ever watches this movie, right? There's that cockroach, this like Scandinavian looking cockroach. I don't know. yeah, I kept. Like at the end of the movie, I assume like she thought that that was God speaking to her, like that was supposed to be the embodiment of the Holy Spirit or whatever, right? Like
whatever she was going through.
And I was like, man, I would have automatically thought that was a devil because it's a huge ass cockroach, you know. And I'm not even religious, so again, I just would call it the devil because it's a huge ass cockroach.
Yeah. But yeah, no,
juicy grub.
I feel like the movie tries to have it a lot of different ways. Like it tries to have it like, tries to set up like these, like, is she crazy or is she religious? She's talking to a fucking cockroach. And she's stuck in it.
Yeah, cockroach and like swirly sky and swirly glasses of liquid.
And then you have the Jennifer, or what is it, Amanda character. She's like, you have that weird scene at the end where she like turns into some sort of demon or I don't know, evil creature, so she's convinced to kill her, right?
Right, yeah.
Essentially,
it's like
that's the way I saw it. Like,
yeah, I saw that too, but it was, there are always those moments where it's like they still film where she died, and she obviously had the thing in her neck, right?
Mm-hmm.
the scissors,
yeah.
And it's like obvious she didn't move, right? She was just kind of stuck there bedridden, because at this point you can tell she cannot move. She's so ill. She's got what, lymphoma of the back or the spine, I mean.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. She's like there. So you can see that all these things are in her head. I mean, kind of like what you're saying when she was having sex with that dude from the bar.
Mm-hmm.
She had an image, I think, of the previous patient she had where she was trying to do CPR on her and she accidentally like crushed her chest in. Mm-hmm. And she thought that she did that to the guy. So she freaked out. And then the guy, like, casually rapes her, sort of, you know? Like,
no, not very casual, but yeah.
Just kind of, like, yeah, does it, yeah.
and then embarrasses her, too, and, like, telling her, like, oh, I know who you are, and you're the little sexy nurse. Yeah, there's a lot of, like, really kind of rough, like, despicable things, I guess, the people she meets. I thought a lot of the things, maybe I'm reading too much into this movie, but I thought it was interesting that her friend was named Joy, and that was one thing she was looking for. Maybe a little film school-ish, but
you're probably right. I saw that happening because she seemed to be the only thing that maybe could have helped her because she wanted to, right?
Yeah. And she tried. She tried to be like, I don't know, nice to her. Or without being, but maybe not like sympathetic until maybe the end after she's already like way gone. You know what I mean? Like, cause
right, yeah.
When they first meet the Kate character, she's like telling her, you know, runs into her, tries to talk to her, but she ends up telling her like, oh, you're still doing that? Like kind of insinuating that, like, how are you still doing that after what happened to her? Whatever happened to her last at the hospital.
Right. Which then you understand because she accidentally like pressed an old woman's chest in trying to save her life.
Mm-hmm.
And did you catch like in that moment towards the end, it felt like there was like this huge buildup of like, she's going to kill her, isn't she?
Yeah,
but then she kind of like shoos her out. She's like, okay, thank you for coming. Oh, you're the best. Goodbye, Joy. Goodbye. Like, okay.
Yeah, she's kind of like, because she does eventually go back to apologize to her, but she's already made up her mind. She's already like completely devoted, thinks she's like, quote unquote, a saint, savior, right? And she's already on that path. So I don't know.
And then you got like the ending, which kind of shows you, of course, she's been hallucinating these things the entire time, but she kind of gathered already, you know? I mean, I kind of knew. Like, there weren't enough moments for me to think, like, oh, maybe she is seeing, maybe these things are real, you know? Because she was the only person that saw this stuff.
Right, yeah.
And then at the very end, when she sets herself on fire on the beach,
mm-hmm.
she makes it seem like Oh, because previously she thought she like sprouted wings, right? After she killed the Amanda character.
Yeah.
And she was, she thought like she set herself on fire and everybody was like bowing to her.
That's a miracle happened.
Which had a very similar ending, or I guess the ending from The Emptying Man had a very similar vibe to this one. Where everybody just like fell on their knees and like bowed to this like a new like godly figure. But then you get a quick glimpse of like she's just like on fire and screaming.
Yeah.
Which in my head translated into her idea of being, her devotion to God is directly related to how much suffering and pain, which is an ongoing thing throughout the film, right?
Right, yeah.
Via like the thumbtacks and like her burning herself on the stove and stabbing herself.
So never want to wear Converse again. I'm good.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the thumbtack thing was fucking. I was going to mention something about Sling Blade, but I was like, who the fuck remembers what Billy Bob Thornton did for Sling Blade? Which, by the way, he put thumbtacks in his shoe so he would have that limp. So she, I think that's her idea of, even though she's screaming in front of people's eyes in her head, she's like finally transcending and she's finally happy. Which also made me think she had some sort of like sadist masochist relationship with like God or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they do No, go ahead. Finish.
I was going to say, because those were like very orgasmic style, like, oh, he's in me, right?
Like, yeah. It definitely leaned on. It's
very sexual, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And then Amanda, the Amanda character, took advantage of that at one point just to sleep with her.
Yeah. And wasn't it just like a case of like, would she be like a nymphomaniac or nymphomania or?
I don't know.
Like
I
don't, something else or just some sort of psychological need she has, or it's kind of like a thing to ask, a lot of questions to ask about.
Yeah. Because I like those moments again, I can see where the director, writer was trying to make some sort of statement with these things, but I feel bad saying this. I feel like the whole subtlety of all these things again just made it seem like one long movie about a crazy person.
Right, yeah. So when she burns herself, I just want to quickly mention, isn't that the famous monks that burn themselves? Protesting?
Oh, the protest monks? Well,
that's the idea, right? I mean, that's...
I would think so. I'm not sure. Because she was attempting to do that in her apartment before Joy showed up and interrupted her. And then I feel like that's why she was like, you know, I should go back and save Amanda's soul by stabbing her in the neck several times.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Jennifer L did a fucking, they both did a great job. But Jennifer L was like, she was great as like just that dancer, very does what she wants because she's dying anyway.
Meryl Streep.
Not Jodie Foster.
Not Jodie Foster. And I thought a lot of the Maude character had a little bit of a Sissy Spacek carry in it, like just the some of the vulnerability, some of the like just some of the, you know, anguish that she goes through. I kind of see a little bit of Sissy Spacek there.
God bless Sissy Spacek.
God bless and Meryl Streep, our Lord and Savior.
God bless Sissy Spacek. She's from Mission, Texas. God bless Sissy Spacek.
God bless Sissy Spacek.
She's from our neck of the woods.
That's cool. That's really cool. Cool. Did you have any last thoughts? Or do you have any other thoughts to add?
Not too many more thoughts. Again, a movie that in my head, not enough goes on for me to be interested in.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Could have cut like a lot of that narration dialogue down, I feel.
Yep.
Nope. I'm ready to give my bones for it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is clearly like an art house movie. So of course I picked it. Great. Yeah. And so nothing fun. I just want you to watch really thoughtful, compelling dramas
about mental illness. I hate thinking about genders and religion and politics.
Yeah. Again, like I said, I honestly think it falls to, like, I think if I was younger, I think I would be really into this movie. But I'm a little older, and I didn't care as much. But, okay, we can go into ratings. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
Just rate the movie.
Oh man, I just really like, I feel like the way I talked about this film, I just need to apologize if I offend anybody. I'm not trying to be sexist. I'm just trying to say
I hate women. That's what you're trying to say. Got it.
I hate religions. No.
And religion. You hate women, religion, cats, dogs. What else do you hate, John?
There just wasn't enough, like, you know, muscular dudes with guns and knives in this movie. So I thought it sucked.
And clown makeup.
Clown makeup, yes. My heroes, right?
Heath Ledger, Jack Nicholson. This is your Mount Rushmore of people, right? Like Heath Ledger, no, it's Jack Nicholson.
You're already wrong. It's Jared Leto. Sorry, everyone. It's just facts.
Just facts.
Sexy spooky bones. I'm sorry to say, I'm going to have to give it. And this is mostly because of how beautiful it looked. You know, how it was very well made movie. I just couldn't get along with the story. I'm going to have to give it 3 sexy spooky bones.
I was actually, I'll go a little higher than that. I was really impressed with what the direction, Rogue Glass's direction. I think that she was influenced by she took a lot of the influences from a lot of really strong other directors, and I can't wait to see her develop her voice and see what else she comes up with. But, I'm going to give it 5 sexy spooky bones.
Nice. And you know, with what you said, because, like, again, everything I really liked about the movie, except for maybe the writing, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And that's because the writing in my head was almost there. It was like, it had all the right things. Like I was explaining, like, all these like symbolic moments I enjoy. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited to see her take somebody else's script, work with them and add what she wants to it, and then her direct the shit out of it. I feel like she's going to be great.
Yeah, I think so too. All right. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to